You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman. I got my name wrong. Joined as always by the gang, Scott Engel, the exec. With Parson, Tony Cicada along for the ride as well. We go the next 3 hours here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on a chilly day in New York City. 844-843-6879-844-84-FNTSY. It's a chilly day in New York City. It's a chilly day in studio. Scott Engel wearing his massive Seattle Seahawks winter coat. I am wearing a winter hat. And Corey Parson, you are toughing it out here.
I'm hoodied up, you know what I'm saying? Got on the Nike boots, though, to keep my foot warm.
Your foot's warm?
Yeah, my feet get cold faster than, for some odd reason, my feet are always...
No, I actually...
That's not abnormal, you know? Especially, like, you're standing outside in the cold subway platform. The feet are, like, you know, the first thing to get cold.
Yeah.
Because you always want to have on, like, a winter hat to, like, keep your head warm. But, you know, the feet can get cold really quick.
Because, I hadn't got a haircut yesterday.
Right.
Because I'm going away.
Yeah, it looks nice. You got a haircut yesterday. You shaved your beard. You know, you had a little trim earlier this week, Scotty. I actually also got a haircut yesterday. So, Tony, did you get a haircut yesterday?
No haircut yesterday. And I got shorts and T-shirt on.
Tony's living the life down there in Jacksonville.
Maybe
I shouldn't have said that. Because some people don't like their location to be known.
I'm sorry.
You didn't give his street number.
No. Would you like to?
I don't know his street number. Send him a letter.
All right. On today's program, we're going to move up Survivor Power Rankings for Scott Engel. We're going to move those up to Wednesday today because, you know what? We got games tomorrow. Scotty may like some of those, so we'll move that up to Wednesday. Dr. Ray will join the program coming up in the 8 a.m. hour. And to prepare yourself for Thanksgiving, you're going to go to rotoexperts.com and look at all the great stuff we have and enter free radio at checkout for a discount.
And a special pre-Thanksgiving chat tonight
with
George Kurtz at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Wow.
Enter free radio checkout for a special discount and my in-season ranks to help you for your playoff push are posted.
Remember, this is also your last chance on the Roto Experts in the Morning program to hear Corey Parson all week. Parson is off to the ATAC. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that. I'm going down to the A, visit with some family and some other folks, so that'd be fun. And that's why I had to get a haircut.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you go around the family, you don't want to look shabby because, you know, they know my situation.
Sure.
They be like, look at this boy. He got his hair cut.
Right.
You know he ain't got no job. He lost that good job. You know what I'm saying? He was talking trash to them people. That's what he get. He should know better than that.
Well, now you got a haircut. You can tell about your new job. We're on-air talent.
Yeah, exactly. I'm now an on-air talent with a haircut.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Or you wear a hat every day. There ain't no reason to wear it now.
And now I get to talk about Texas Ranger hand jobs.
Oh, right. That's right.
I got some other thing I want to talk about too, Greg.
You want to do that now or should you do that later in the show?
I'll tell you when Tony already knows. I'll tell you in the break.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And we can discuss.
Okay.
Because I saw something that kind of caught
upset
my
you?
Attention.
Upset
and
you?
It upset me a little bit. Okay. I think somebody was left out of the balloting for the 2016 Sportsman of the Year.
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to wait. We'll do that. Whoa. We'll do that a little bit later on.
We got fantasy stuff to get
through. I'm out of bounds today, too.
I want to get some waiver. Are you going to be out of bounds?
I'll probably be someplace else.
You're out of here. All right, so we waiver wires took place last night. And for some of us, other ones go tonight. You don't want to forget. I know you're going to be on a flight, so don't forget your waiver wires.
Scared about that.
And I got some interesting numbers here, Miley, that could help you out. $100 budget.
Busy running my Corey and Tony's league, too, the Granite Street.
So we'll certainly talk about that in a moment as well. But you know the worst feeling is when you give the dumb bid.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, I should have listened. I listened to a combination of Scott and Corey yesterday. I should have listened to Tony. Jared Cook.
Bigfoot.
Scotty, you had said I should give about, I think in between $15 and $20, I think you said yesterday.
Yeah, something like that.
Something around there, right?
Yeah. I remember
you
exactly.
Around there, I believe you said. Now, you had said 25 to 30 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I said
a little
go.
Over 20.
I thought you said 15 or 20. I thought you said 25 to 30.
I said go. I was more towards the go all in part.
Right.
I think I was the lowest, though. I might have said no.
See, no, Tony was the lowest. He said he would bid $4 or $5. Is that correct, Tony?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not enamored with the tight end.
Right. You would give $4 or $5. So I kind of went in between Scott and Corey because I have Jack Doyle. I'm very, very nervous about the situation.
Yeah.
I know Tony said, hey, you got tight ends and they could be good with a backup quarterback. But I didn't feel confident with Jack Doyle on Thursday. So I spent $18 on Jared Cook.
Okay.
I won.
Good job. That's all that matters.
I won.
Yeah, that's all that matters, yeah.
Would you like to know what the next highest bid was?
$1?
$2.
$2.
All right.
Yeah, you know what, though? The lesson is you got to get your guy. That doesn't matter. And I'll give you an example. I came in third place in the NFBC, and I had a $222 bid on Gary Sanchez.
Right.
Next was 12.
Wow.
But you got Gary.
I wouldn't
Gary
have won
Chance,
without
Gary.
Gary
Sanchez.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have won without him. I mean, it was huge what he did.
Sure.
And the bottom line is sometimes you just got to be comfortable that you're going to get the guy and overspend, and it could be a difference maker. I mean, if you spent $18 on him and he goes out and has two big games and you make the playoffs, it's well worth it.
Yeah, and you don't know. You were veering into the unknown when you bid, and you did what it took to ensure you got him. You know, you can't. Yeah, you know, I think as fantasy players, we too often tend to look at the negative when it should only be a positive. Bottom line is, you got Jared Cook in our league, mine, Corey, and
Greenwich Street Tavern
and Tony, yeah. The Greenwich Street Tavern League. You know, Jared Cook, I bid $11 on him. $13 on him. He went for $35. So every, you know, not only is every league different. Every night can be different.
Yep, and
in terms of bidding.
You remember my situation from last week where I was going after one of the defenses that we thought would be very good.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm going to go $60-something, and everybody was like, you've lost your mind.
Right.
And I didn't get them because everybody, you know, they unloaded.
You never, ever know what people are fully thinking when it comes to waivers.
Yeah, and so that one.
And then you have to understand this time of year, too, really the only team putting in bids are the teams that are in contention.
They're fighting.
So they're going to be more likely to spin up.
So I thought.
Well,
unfortunately, no one was
interested. Not everybody's on Cook. But you got him, Greg. So you got him for the stretch run.
Let's hope this guy's good. Let's hope he's not Bigfoot. He's going to go zero.
If he was to have a zero this week, I'm telling you, I would jump.
You'll jump?
You
don't even have them anywhere.
I like going on the I'm going the staircase and then jump like three stairs.
I got
a nice consolation prize for not getting Cook. I got Vance McDonald for $11.
So that was the thing, right? Vance McDonald was out there. If
after
you know
Chris Vaccaro sent me the most laughable trade offer I've ever
seen. Which is? He's a Hall of Famer now.
Yeah, but still, this is like Tavon Austin and Colby Fleener for Jamison Crowder. I see you need a tight end.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you know what I did? And listen to this, everybody. Because he sent me a laughable offer like that, I sent him back. And he said to me, he goes, I'm giving you Fleener in the dome. And I said, they're better tight. Because I said, I turned around and said, okay, I'll give you Terrence West and Tyler Lockett for Antonio Brown.
I'm giving you Lockett off the PCL.
I'm giving you Lockett. There are points for special teams in this league. West scored a touchdown last week.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good job by you, Scotty. Yeah. That's a good job by you. All right. So other bids this week, the other exciting one, Wendell Smallwood. Now, I know Scotty's is your guy.
Yeah.
You wanted to go all in here on Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony, you were less enthusiastic because they play on Monday night.
Yep.
Corey, you were not interested very much at all.
He's not in any of my leagues.
Right.
Like, he's not available.
Right.
But if he was out there, I definitely would have put a couple bids in. Probably in one league. See, I'm looking for some. I'm looking for dudes that I can start.
Right.
You know, in a situation where I may be banged up or have a bye or have somebody performing poorly. I'm really not trying to add nobody to my bench right now.
Sure. He went for $71 out of 100 yesterday.
Ooh.
$71.
He went for 64.
Right there with him. Second highest bid was 32. He went all in there on Wendell Smallwood. So you're buying it. The problem is, though, and I just mentioned it, and Tony said it yesterday, he plays Monday night. Yeah. What if they Ryan Matthews all of a sudden practices one day this week, and then it is doubtful or questionable. You are, if you don't own Ryan Matthews, you are stuck on Monday night.
No, but here's the thing about it. So what? You had to win the player last night,
right?
So you did. You took the
risk.
You took the risk of and it's a smart risk to take. Because, I mean, sure, we don't know what's going to happen, but what were you going to do, leave him out there? You got to play to win this time of year. You feel what I'm saying? The 13 is right around the corner.
Sure.
14, 15, and 16 are not guaranteed, so it's winning time.
You know what also, too, if you have a guy in your watch list, too,
yep.
Sometimes you can wait till after the Ravens
run
and you don't spend any money. Mm-hmm. In the Greenwich Street Tavern League, I waited for waivers to run. Nobody picked up A.J. Derby, and I picked him up for zero.
I don't think anybody wants A.J. Derby.
Congratulations.
In a league like this, a guy on my watch list is so deep, you know, I'll take that chance the next morning.
So
with a kicker, especially if I need one.
Definitely a kicker. Yeah. But A.J. Derby, Corey, are you upset that you didn't acquire A.J. Derby?
I'm trying to think who A.J. Derby is.
Okay, yeah. You're doing a tight end of Denver.
Denver don't use a tight end, Scott.
That's because they're very disappointed with the other two guys they got. They traded for Derby. They want to start working him in.
You sure about this?
Yes.
Because, okay. Because
I could be wrong on that. I didn't spend anything on it.
No,
right?
Well, you got him for zero.
It's a flyer and a very deep 14-team expert.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. But that, like I said, the reason why I'm kind of, you know, slower to him is because when the Denver Broncos, they don't employ the tight end. Even with Peyton,
they've been
there,
looking to they employ the tight end. They've been disappointed with Virgil
Green.
Going
a little,
which is no shock. Okay, and then they got Herman, who's been hurt. So they said, look, you know, we traded for this guy. You know, he's got some talent we like. We just want to start working the tight end into the office for a $0 flyer in a 14-team league the morning after. Why the heck not? I put Akeem in the garbage.
You want me to tell you why not?
Yeah, tell us why not.
You have four tight ends on your roster.
No, I have pending claims to get rid of some of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who are you getting rid of? You just spent $11 on Vance McDonald.
He's your
worst
not one of them.
All right, so who are your tight ends in this league?
What?
Who are you going to cut then? You have Gronkowski and you have Ladarius Green.
Yeah, Ladarius Green.
You're going to cut Ladarius Green?
Yes, bye-bye.
And keep
you're gonna keep AJ Derby and not Ladarius
and AJ Derby?
Come on,
Scott, you're making no sense now.
There's somebody out there who I really want, and he's the one I'm gonna cut.
And that's fine. There's someone out there they really want, but why would you cut AJ Derby for him and not Ladarius Green? That doesn't make sense.
I'm not messing with Ladarius Green.
You're not messing with Ladarius Green. Last week, you're all about Ladarius Green.
Guy gave me a dollar last week.
All right,
here's my thinking.
Yes.
At surface, I can understand where it makes no sense.
Okay,
right?
Cool. As long as you understand.
Okay, Gronk is my tight end. McDonald will be my starter if he doesn't play. I'm not going to use Green. I'm taking a flyer on Derby, hoping there might be some upside. I might cut him as soon as next week. I'm not going to use Green. Derby is a total shot in the dark.
Mm. How much fab you got left, Scott?
I got $25 left.
Okay.
$25 left. Hey.
And Scott's going wild on tight ends.
On AJ Derby.
See what I got to do.
Gronk can play this week.
Yeah.
Then what do you do?
You know what? I could use McDonald in my flex. This is a very deep leak.
Well, I want to know what you want AJ Derby for, though.
What's that?
AJ Derby.
What about him?
What do you want him for?
Dollar make you holler.
He did.
A zero make you holla.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Even better.
Yeah.
You got it for free.
A zero make you a hero.
You got it for free,
huh? Yeah.
Tyler Boyd, gentlemen. He's going to be the hot name. He's going to be the hot name on the waiver wire this week. Tyler Boyd, Corey Barson, how much do you think he went for?
Out of 100?
Out of 100.
$35.
$35. Scotty?
$77.
Tony Cingata?
$12.
You went for $16.
$16.
$16. I had the second highest bid at $8.
Why didn't you go up a little bit more?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, do I love Tyler Boyd? No.
Was Brandon LaFell out there?
Was Brandon LaFell
out there?
Usually
out there in a lot, every league.
I don't think he was out there in this league. I believe he was owned in this league. In my other league, he was owned. LaFell is what was owned in this league.
Okay.
Now, when I go to the other league, because I played in two leagues that had waivers from last night, I won Jared Cook for $4 last night. $4 I bid and I won. But I already own Tyler Eifert in this league. But I thought Jared Cook, $4, I thought why not? $4 to make you chuck, I guess.
Never mind.
Four to be a whore.
There you go.
All
right, but here's the thing, when I how do you feel about Like, I think Tyler Eifert's an interesting player in this whole scenario going down the stretch.
Right.
Because you kind of figure the targets are going to go up without Gio and A.J. Green there.
Yeah.
But then there's also the fact that the offense just looks out of sync altogether.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's a very tricky guy.
Without A.J. Green, he's their only big, strong red zone target. Passing in the red zone.
Can somebody be, like, maybe can we get somebody on the staff to figure out how Tyler Eifert performed in games in the past where A.J. Green missed?
Who would you like to do that?
I don't want to, you know.
Mike Florio.
Well, Mike Florio's working. You see, look at it. He's working.
He's a producer.
He's a producer. He's a
hell of a producer, too. Yeah. Did I tell you everybody?
I remember the fantasy exec. The fantasy executive used to be able to do two things at once.
What were they?
Neither of those were producing.
Well, I was setting you guys up for that, and I knew that was where you're going to go. And sometimes it was accurate.
Nevertheless, we'll try to get someone to figure that out at some point today. Let's take a break. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we'll talk some more waiver wires, get you set for your waiver wires if they haven't run yet, some NFL headlines to get to as well, and we'll do some Turkey Day DFS picks coming up next hour. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. God,
this is some generic trap right here.
Yeah, is this
couch new?
This is
generic trap.
Right. I got to tell you, Corey.
What's up?
I know a lot of times you wear your Yankee hat or a Cowboys hat in here. Yeah. Sometimes a little winter hat thing.
Yeah.
I wore this winter hat this morning. I feel much warmer.
Oh, yeah, it helps a lot.
I really feel very warm today. Now, Flora, you've been here for a while. You're wearing a sweatshirt. Do you feel warm?
It's kind of cold, but
I think you should wear a winter hat.
I have a Knicks one with me.
I would put it on. I bet you're going to feel much more comfortable.
I have a jacket on, but I got a winter hat with me, too.
I put your hat on also.
Yeah.
I think we should all wear a winter hat.
That's what I was saying in the beginning. You got to keep the head and the toes warm. Corey, I checked that out for you during the break. A.J. Green missed 3 games in 2014. Tyler Eifert was also injured as well. No. They've never had a situation where both of them have where Green was out and Eifert was in.
Thank you, Scott.
That's because last year was Eifert's only healthy year, right?
Yeah, like Eifert.
No, he played one game that year.
So, like I said, last year was Eifert's only healthy year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing with Tyler Eifert, go ahead, Tone.
In the Buffalo game, once AJ Green went out, they went and put double coverage on Tyler Eifert on a tight end. And I think you'll see the same thing going forward because of the lack of productivity from the other two wide receivers.
That makes sense.
What are you going to say, Corey? Huh? You're going to say something as well.
I was going, no, it's not important now. Tony's point kind of made my point.
Tony's point made your point moot?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, fair enough. Brandon LaFell, you asked me about him. Tyler Eifert, in this particular league, oddly enough, Tyler Boyd was owned. Brandon LaFell was not.
Wow.
Yeah, weird, right? Mainly because that owner just kept not updating his team.
He
drafted Tyler Boyd and had it on the bench literally all year. It was remarkable.
One of those guys.
Yeah. Nevertheless, Brandon LaFell was available. How much do you think he went for last
time? $2.
He went for $2. Tony?
$5.
He went for $5. Scotty?
Which player are we talking about?
We're talking about Brandon LaFell.
Okay. I'm going to say $18.
Oh, there you go. $20. This guy wasn't even listening, and he knows the answer.
In the Greenwich Street Tavern League, he went for $66 out of 100.
Should have been owned in that league.
Should have been owned in that league. And, you know, it's amazing that Brandon LaFell was available in a league that A.J. Derby was not.
LaFell is one of the he's one of the guys that have been picked up four times.
Yep.
So it wasn't like he's been on the waiver wire all this time.
I had him in a lineup when he had that 2-touchdown game against Dallas. He was in my lineup.
Yeah.
So I kind of got like, you know, I got his, you know, I got, well, let me not say that.
I
got his best effort.
I don't know what you were going to say.
I was going to say when he shot his load, I got it. So that's what I was going to say.
I appreciate you saying that.
Well, you pushed.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't push all that hard.
You know it doesn't take much.
Yeah, Corey was like, shove me out.
You don't have to turn my arm to say something off.
No.
Shock jockish.
No, you really don't. Wow.
Shock jockish. Jockish.
No other crazy bids here from at least my leagues, guys, that I saw from yesterday. It kind of does it. The Wendell Smallwood, Tyler Boyd,
Jared
Cook.
In our league, Rex Burkhead went to $13.
Oh, yeah. Rex Burkhead.
Dorial Green Beckham went for $6. That's about $5.75 too much. The Titans went for $4. Malcolm Mitchell only went for $2.
Really?
Which was interesting.
Should I go pick Rex Burkhead up, guys?
I think, you know what?
Malcolm Mitchell's interesting.
He is interesting.
Nah.
No?
He's only interesting until Gronk comes back.
But we don't know when that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Right. But Gronk or Hogan, once they come back, I think he'll lose targets out of that offense.
Yeah, you're right.
Dylan Lewis
is
another week
there.
But, you know what I mean? If you have one shot, you have a roster spot, it's amazing to me. I went and looked at that lineup. They don't have Malcolm Mitchum in their lineup as of yet, but they did put Dorial Green Beckham, which is kind of crazy to me, but not so crazy when you think they're playing the Green Bay Packers.
Like, I probably should own Malcolm Mitchell over Eddie Royal, right? There's no reason to own Eddie Royal, right? I'm not starting anybody with Matt Barkley as a quarterback. I'm just not going to do that. There's
sense.
No way.
That makes sense, right?
Isn't Dorial Green Beckham, though, a good speculative play this week? Like, I thought the same thing when I saw that bid. Then I realized they're playing Green Bay on Monday night. Green Bay's been getting lit up in the secondary. When you think about it, who from Philadelphia is really going to light anyone up?
Well, I love Zach Ertz this week because, you know, they have so many injuries at linebacker as well.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point, Scotty. But so do you, Tony. I think all these Eagles are probably solid plays this week. Dorial Green Beckham, Jordan Matthews, Zach Ertz, not Nelson Aguilar. I think those are the guys.
In what situation without a bye, though, unless you play in a league like the Greenwich Street Tavern League and maybe you have injuries with no byes, where are you really going to play Dorial Green Beckham? Maybe he'll save you some money in daily?
No, so I'm looking at you say where? Yeah. My team. I am in a 12-team league right now.
Yeah.
Okay? I lost Ryan Matthews. My flexes right now into my lineup are Jerick McKinnon and Kenny Britt.
Yeah, you can take a shot.
I can take a shot at Dorial Green Beckham.
Rather use a Green Beckham, possibly.
No.
And we could, this is debatable, too. If Stephon Diggs doesn't play tomorrow, I like Adam Thielen. Yeah.
Yeah, Thielen's owned in my league.
I don't play in any leagues where he's available.
Yeah.
And I actually went out in that league we play with Cardano. I don't even know what the name of the league is. And I picked up Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday.
I got
in that league. I needed a wide receiver, and I got him. But in this situation, let's look at this Cha-Cha's league, right, Cha-Cha?
Well, I can look at Greg's league. Why are you just skipping over my team?
Oh, go ahead. I was going to go the Dorial Green Beckham.
No. I'm saying, should I play Dorial Green Beckham over these guys?
Over.
Go ahead.
Over Kenny Britt and or Jerick McKinnon.
See? Britt's out for me in that mix with Goff at quarterback.
I would
facing New Orleans.
I would take a shot.
You take a shot here, right?
I would take a shot with upside there.
All right. So I'm going to drop Eddie Royal because I'm not going to play him.
Well, you make a good point, though. Britt plays the Saints, though.
Yes.
And Britt's like, even though Goff is like, yeah, he did make one or two key throws to Britt. I think he knows who his best wide receiver is.
Right.
I might actually lean Britt. The thing with Green Beckham is the secondary is so bad, but I feel like it's one of those extreme cases where it's almost like the reverse. Like sometimes when a great quarterback faces a great wide receiver, people assume the defensive player is going to win the matchup. Now we go reverse. We got a very bad defense against a nothing receiver. And who do we think is automatically going to win? The nothing receiver. You know, they might go elsewhere with the football. They could run a two tight end set and start throwing a Trey Burton.
It's true. Probably seems unlikely.
They traded for Green Beckham, and they
alluded to, Tony, that they're going to bench Nelson Aguilar this week.
Yeah, and he's coming off
officially
games where he had two zeros, and then he gets in garbage time last week, puts up 5 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown. And I think they go back and see if they got anything here. They need to develop something at wide receiver.
Wow, so maybe I should start Dorial Green Beckham this week.
That's a risky move right there, Greg.
Yeah.
It's a huge risk.
The tie for it, though, is that Philly has the better quarterback in Wentz over Goff.
And Green Bay stinks.
Yeah. Do you need to win to make the playoffs?
I'm 6-5 in sixth place.
You need a W.
I need
the team you're playing is in the hunt too.
He's number four. He's right in front of me.
Yeah, this is a big.
I gotta win. Mm. I can't mess around, guys.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to start Jerick McKinnon. I hate Jerick McKinnon.
I hate want is to a start strong him word. Either. Hate is a strong word.
They're making
word.
One of the key linebackers back this week too. Levy might come back, so.
But he's no Cam Chancellor, Levy.
No, he's not.
But it's Jerick McKinnon. You know, anybody who's better against Jerick McKinnon, you know, send him further down.
Cam Chancellor.
I just look at this team. And I don't
best
know what to do.
Safety
I just don't know what to do.
Be a better one.
Which you got to have somebody better on the waiver wire.
Who?
Well, read me some of the wide receivers on the waiver wire, Greg.
Yeah.
I don't like Malcolm Mitchell's there. If you want him, you want Malcolm Mitchell?
No, I don't want
anything
Malcolm Mitchell.
You want Malcolm Mitchell.
They don't develop wide receivers well either.
Malcolm Mitchell, they seem to like, though. Just saying. No.
He'll be someplace else next
All right,
week.
So you want some wide receivers that are out here?
Yeah, give me a couple names.
Anquan Boldin, you like him?
Yeah, why not Anquan Boldin?
You like
you? Yeah, why not Anquan Boldin? I would play Anquan Boldin over Dorial Green-Beckham.
And Britt?
He's got a better shot at a touchdown.
And McKinnon? I wouldn't do that.
All right.
Jeremy Curley, like him?
No, Colin Kaepernick don't. He just, you know, he just threw the football
He's
to the open man.
He's going to throw to Vance McDonald.
Yeah, and it's Max.
Should I start Rex Burkhead?
Nah.
I don't think so. Not against the Ravens.
All right. This is what's out there, man.
It kind of sucks, Greg.
Yeah.
What about Taylor Gabriel?
You want Taylor Gabriel? He's probably out here. Taylor Gabriel's, he's out here.
That's a dice roll for like a deep pass.
He's gotten double-digit points the last three games, though.
Probably all touchdowns, though, right?
Oh, no. 5 for 52 one game. But that doesn't make sense. How did he? Yeah, he probably had a punt return touchdown.
Probably had a punt return touchdown.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's touchdown dependent.
Yeah.
Dorial Green-Beckham is trash dependent.
Yes.
I mean, the matchup.
But the thing is, the matchup's good. Jerry McKinnon just stinks.
Jerick McKinnon's not getting it done. I agree with you. You can't play Jerick McKinnon. You can't put McKinnon in your lineup. Matt Asiata's own?
Yeah.
Another touchdown-dependent guy.
I think I like Kenny Britt in New Orleans. That's not terrible. Like, Britt in New Orleans? It's not terrible.
No.
Tony, I apologize. We start talking about you and Cha-Cha's league, so please, you can continue on now. I appreciate the opportunity here.
What did he do?
I don't know. You were talking about Cha-Cha's league, and I cut you off talking about myself.
Cha-Cha, this is the Granite Street Tavern League. He picked up... Green Beckham, and he's using him over Malcolm Mitchell, Taylor Gabriel, and Brian Quick. Malcolm Mitchell is interesting against the Jets secondary.
Yeah.
That he used Beckham over.
The Jets have traditionally given up big plays to wide receivers all year long. Yeah.
Mm. I also, yeah.
Hogan doesn't play, Gronk's out again. I like Mitchell.
You like Mitchell over Dorial Green Beckham?
If those injuries are, yeah, I might, you know. Brady came out praising the kid yesterday, too.
He did.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't mean nothing.
He did. But I also realized, Tony, his touchdown came on like a really nice play by Malcolm Mitchell. It wasn't like they were targeting him incessantly, right? Didn't most of his yards and touchdowns just come on this one play?
Yeah, the touchdown play. Yeah, but he did have four catches there. And that's the type of guy he is. And against the Jets secondary, they've let up a ton of big plays.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of the Jets, they also have Quincy Nunua. I could start him.
The PPR?
Half point.
Yeah.
Yeah, why would you play not a bad. Nunua?
With Fitzpatrick back, I'd probably go with
Yeah,
Nunua.
And they're going to be playing from behind more than likely.
You guys like a Nunua?
I think I like a Nunua.
The Jets aren't built to
you
play.
You love them?
The Jets are not built to play from behind, but I like them within the regular flow of the game.
I'll tell you what, I really like him. I think the Patriots' other cornerback situation is terrible. I think there's no pass rush anymore. I think Anua has a big game. I like him a lot better than Marshall.
Tony and I were talking yesterday about how the Patriots' defense is like kind of depleted now.
All right, I'm putting in Anua over Jerick McKinnon then.
Hey,
you're a winner.
Hi, you're a winner. You know, thanks, guys.
You're a winner, turkey dinner.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, what's up?
You know what I thought about?
No.
Remember I was talking about Bilal Powell the other day? Well, what is Bilal Powell? Is he still good to go with
Ryan Fitzpatrick is going
back? Yeah.
The first time people
started
buzzing.
He was looking for Bryce Petty for the checkdowns.
Time people started buzzing about Powell early in the season was around week four when Fitzpatrick was still the quarterback.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Up all the big numbers with Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. I mean,
yes.
It's true. That makes sense. But I'm just like,
downgrade from Petty to Fitzpatrick.
I mean, you guys know the situation we talked about earlier this week. I'm trying to figure out if I play Bilal Powell or Brandon LaFell. Yeah.
And I said LaFell, and Scotty and Tony both said Bilal Powell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Who are you going to go with?
Still struggling with that a day later.
Who are you going to go with? Your co-host or your best friend?
I have Bilal Powell in my lineup now, to be honest. Okay. I'm sorry.
No friends in fantasy football.
No friends in fantasy football. All right, let's take a break. We're done with my team. We'll talk some headlines from yesterday when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Tony Cicada, and Corey Parson here with you. 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Let's talk to you on the phone, and we begin with Irv in New Jersey. Good morning, Irv.
Irv Mawa.
Good morning, Corey, Greg, Tony, and Scotty. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Same to you. Thank you very much, sir. How can we help you this morning?
Here's what I got going. I need a defense, and I need a quarterback for this week. Looking at defenses, I'm looking at Pittsburgh, Atlanta, or Tennessee.
Tennessee is the best defense of the week. Matt Barkley is horrible.
What's your quarterback situation?
Pushed out of the way.
My quarterback situation is Flacco or Tannehill, and then I just had one last quick defensive question for the King.
Who's on your waiver wire? Quarterbacks.
Flacco, Tannehill.
Is Carson Wentz out there?
Who?
No. These were kind of the two best. Flacco, Tannehill, Tolvin. I don't want to get too cute with it. Tolvin's out there, but that was pretty much
no Colin Kaepernick.
No, Fitzpatrick is out there
against the Pats. I can't. I'm not gonna be able to tell a person. I can't tell another human being to put Ryan Tannehill in their lineup.
Okay, so, Corey, I'm going to help you here. Use the Miami quarterback against San Francisco.
That information's come from Scott.
I said Miami quarterback. If something happens in practice, I could be saying Matt Moore, right?
Which is probably a better option.
Great. Hey, Scotty, one quick question. What do you think about this buzz that Atlanta, and I point this towards you because of the Seattle connection, that Atlanta's defense is kind of the up-and-coming Seattle South. You think that's hogwash?
They're trying to get physical guys in the secondary and kind of build it that way. You know, plus the head coach is a former defensive coordinator. So, you know, they get some pieces. Vic Beasley is a terrific defensive end. So, you know, they're starting to build the framework of it, I think.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And, boys, again, happy Thanksgiving to you and your families.
What's that guy's name again? I always forget their head coach's name.
What? Dan Quinn?
Dan Quinn. Yeah, Dan Quinn. I'm sorry.
Now
he's definitely doing a lot better than the other former Seahawks defensive coordinator in Jacksonville.
Scotty, did you this morning, waivers ran in leagues for you, I know, last night.
Right.
Were you up for 45 minutes?
Yeah.
I grabbed
AJ Derby in one league and Adam Thielen in another.
Was this like before you like got up to go out, or you just spent 45 minutes like, just doing work?
I got up early, you know, to hit the waiver wire. Usually do on some other days.
Okay. Fair enough. I do see you picked up Adam Thielen at 4:57 this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
It's a little early for me.
I was up around that time, too.
You have a 4:57 this morning?
I had to wash clothes and stuff like that.
Did your laundry at 4:57 in the morning?
No, I did it last night, but I had to get my bag and stuff together. You know what I'm saying? And then I was on, you know, I was on the phone till late last night, too. It's just tough.
Who are you on the phone with in the middle of the night?
Huh?
Who are you on the phone with in the middle of the night?
I was talking to a young lady. If that's okay with you.
No, I just feel like it's like late to do that. Like, you got work in the morning.
He's got that voice on, too, that he had, too. Young lady. That's okay with you.
Let me tell you about a point per reception.
Yes. What's your average depth of target, honey?
You might be Mike Clay talking to a woman.
Andrew Luck is you just said that joke already. All right. Andrew Luck is probably going to play next week, maybe? Because he's not going to play tomorrow night. Scott told him he's going to get the start.
It's interesting because the Steelers are saying they don't believe it. They were saying, we're preparing until they tell us a half hour before game time.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not going to play tomorrow night. Scott Tolzien's going to play. We talked a lot about this yesterday. Have your opinion changed, Scotty, on who you can and cannot play for Indianapolis?
No.
Okay. All right, leave it there. Stephon Diggs, Corey, it seems...
It's our guy.
It's our guy. It's my guy. Mm-hmm. University of Maryland. Stephon Diggs certainly seems like he is a legit question mark for tomorrow with this injury. You picked up Scotty with Adam Thielen this morning. It's a good start against Detroit. Corey, do you like Adam Thielen if Stephon Diggs is unavailable?
I've had Adam Thielen on one of my teams.
His name's Adam.
Adam, excuse me.
Okay.
On one of my teams for about 10 weeks now.
Okay.
I've actually played him in a couple lineup. You know, I've thrown him in a lineup a couple times throughout the course of the bye weeks. I think the kid is a player. I like him a lot. If I had him to play, I would.
We know. Scotty, are you playing him this week in the league? Pick him up.
I haven't decided. I'm swinging back and forth with it, but probably not. It's like I don't think I can bring myself to start him over Eli Rogers.
I think it's a good one, to be honest. I think it's a very good question. Eli Rogers or Adam Thielen? Tony, which way do you lean between Thielen and Rogers?
You know what? If we take Stephon Diggs out,
yep.
I'm going to lean to Thielen. I think you have a shot now that he's the number one option in that passing offense against one of the teams that's the second worst defensive backs in the National Football League. So he'd have to be out, but if Diggs was out, I would go Thielen.
Is Patrick Robinson out again? Because they'll run Eli Rogers in the slot. When they don't have Patrick Robinson, you can tear up the Colts in the slot too. So I've been going back and forth with it.
The Colts.
Yeah, it's who Eli Rogers plays. The Colts.
Yeah, the problem I have with Eli Rogers is no matter what you look at it, he's going to, at best, be the third option at any time.
Right, where Thielen is the number one, yeah.
Yeah, so even out of the slot, right, you'll have times where Le'Veon Bell will actually get passes out of the slot and line up there as they put him in that offense. So that's what concerns me with that matchup, and that's where I get a little bit there, and I would lean to Thielen in that one. And Minnesota can't run the ball, and it's an inviting matchup because of very poor secondary.
Yes,
and I agree, and they're starting you're starting to see Sam Bradford throw the football more, too.
Yeah.
Roto World did it again.
Something funny?
Huh?
Yeah, we got something funny?
They're talking about Deion Jordan practicing.
Oh, that was great, yeah.
It says, I seen a ghost.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I saw it yesterday. Yeah, I wanted to actually text Tony. I forgot to.
I've seen the ghost. Deion Jordan to practice.
The show ended.
Yeah.
How about that?
Aren't you laughing?
Yeah, I am laughing, but that's ridiculous. Come
Why?
On.
Why? It's
We're
hilarious.
Laughing at them, not
this should
with
be,
them.
This should be a new. The Roto World is supposed to be a news source. Keep your opinions to yourself.
Oh, get out of here!
The player news is supposed to be the player news.
I agree
news.
With Corey.
It's the player news. Yeah, I mean, you can put in your columns. You can put your little humor and stuff like that. But in the player news, I don't need your spin.
Okay, so that actually in the actual description, that's not there. It just says
it's the headline.
It's the headline. It's the headline.
Yeah.
Which is
the
best.
The headline.
I think the better line is the monumental 2013 draft bust hasn't taken. Part of Raiders in practice since December 2014.
It's still that's news reporting, though. It's a fact. He's a monumental draft bust.
It is. Man, I find these hilarious. I don't know. I can't believe you guys are just... You guys are negative Nancys. That's what you are.
No, it's like, going there for the news.
We want what we want. Yeah, we don't want to be entertained by Roto World.
I do. Yeah. Coach, how about
it's
this?
Like, why do I have to dig to get my information?
Cardinals coach Bruce Arians will coach the team in Week 12. The salty sea captain of a coach was back at work on Tuesday. Yeah,
tough job, NFL head coach.
Coaching professional football takes a toll.
Yep, especially when you're losing, it takes even more.
He's
of a
very intense guy too.
Especially when you should be doing better than they are. So I wish him the best of luck with his health and good see him back on the out there with the team.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry though, like that maybe he just eats too much bacon and has nothing to do with coaching?
I don't. It is possible.
That is possible too.
It is possible.
I was thinking of it yesterday from all aspects of life, right? Their team is terrible. They're underachieving. Like, is this really getting him, or does he just have a bad diet? And like any guy with any other job, maybe in this situation,
it is possible. It's absolutely possible. Speaking of Bruce Arians and the Arizona Cardinals here, Carson Palmer has certainly been one of these quarterbacks that have been struggling mightily.
And
so much so that besides Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, you can't start anybody. Like earlier this year, we're looking for the number two wide receiver, the number two pass catcher in this offense, and we couldn't find one. Now maybe because there isn't one, right? Like, you don't trust anybody here. And it's tough. However, with that being said, something I want to get into a little bit later on is in regards to playoff matchups. Now, I have Marcus Mariota. You guys know that, right?
You like him too, don't you?
I love Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. But I can't start him in Week 14 against Denver.
And here's something, too. I do my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com
now.
They're posted part Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter free radio. Check out for a special discount.
That seemed totally natural.
I naturally bumped down the guys from Tennessee and Cleveland because you take that as part of the schedule going forward. You know, in Week 13, you're getting a zero from these guys.
Because of the bye. Okay.
Yeah, I bumped them down because of the bye.
That makes sense, Scott.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Mariota has a bye week 13. Week 14 plays Denver. Week 15 plays Kansas City. In Kansas City, those are tough spots. Carson Palmer, on the other hand here, Corey, week 14 in Miami. Week 15 at home against New Orleans.
I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust that dude. He's beat up.
I don't know if I'd trust him against Miami. I don't think Miami is a cakewalk matchup.
So if I'm a Marcus Mariota owner, what do I do?
In week 13?
In week 13, 14, and 15, in my opinion.
All right.
I think in a lot of cases with Mariota, you also drafted him late, and you might have another good quarterback on your roster in a lot of cases.
I don't think that's true anymore because when you're at this point in the year...
A lot of the guys that people drafted early, though, that you don't get proper trade return, and you can't cut them.
All I can do is speak for me. I don't. I had some quarterback, I cut him, right?
Right.
So I have Marcus Mariota, and I've been rolling with him each and every week.
When's your trade deadline?
Friday.
So you could try to make a trade.
I have been trying. I'm trying.
On the free agent list.
I'm trying to actually trade.
Like Tony says, quarterbacks are hard to trade. You're probably going to have to throw all of offer out there where you might be lowballing yourself.
I am. So what I'm trying to do is I try to package Mariota, because I know he has a bye next week and the schedule gets rough. I try to package Mariota and Zach Ertz for a quarterback.
If you're trying to...
If you find the right team that needs a tight end, yeah.
Well, that's what
I'm
doing.
Because
I'm targeting
my leagues, I was very happy to get Ertz off the waiver wire last night.
So I'm trying to target a team. I'm trying to get Derek Carr. I thought that because his playoff schedule is fine.
Right. You got to hope the other owner doesn't look at it as deeply as you
do. Well, that's the problem. Yeah. He's like, wow, I'm really intrigued. And then goes, oh, wow, you sneaky son of a bitch.
Right.
All right. So let's look at
getting a reputation in your league again.
Okay. Now we're going ahead.
Different league. Same result.
Excellent matchup on paper for week 13. Brock Osweiler.
Who does he face?
The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll at least give... I don't think Osweiler has a ceiling in any matchup, but I certainly have a floor in that one.
Tony, you buying against the Green Bay Packers in Week 13, Brock Osweiler?
I am not buying, but if I was... if you were a Mariota fan, I just had to go last week and I had to get Alex Smith.
Right.
I would have took Osweiler in that Green Bay matchup over Alex Smith last week. So I'm not, but at this point of the year, you get to a point where you have to make a move, and there's not a lot of guys out there. I could see it happening.
No.
Alex Smith actually goes to Atlanta.
Yeah, and Alex Smith is in Atlanta in Week 13.
Yeah.
Now, listen, these are two guys, Greg. Don't come in here, that next Monday morning talking about you pieces of crap you made me play. These are very risky options. You got to figure very risky options with Alex Smith and Brock Osweiler. So take that into consideration. Now, the Chicago Bears are going to have a new quarterback.
They are, but you're going to start him? Matt Barkley, are you out of your damn mind? I'll start Mariota. I'll start Mariota
in crazy
Denver
thing
rather
is,
than that.
Here's the scenario. Andrew Luck misses another game, and Scott Tolzien against the Jets.
I see. Those are this. I'm trying
Tolzien
to help you.
Tolzien has thrown for 300 yards before.
What if Blake Bortles get benched or he's hurt? And then he plays Denver anyway that week. I'm not going to let you play Chad Henne.
I appreciate it. And this is a problem for not just me, for a lot of fantasy owners across the universe who have gone with Mariota and the Titans going forward. Right? Rishard Matthews, too. He's been very, very big. So we'll talk more about...
Trevor Siemian at Jacksonville.
Great. Yeah, that's true, too. We'll talk more about these kind of things when we return. We'll also take your calls at 844-843-6879. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back after this. Corey Bars looking at the spread. Washington, Dallas for tomorrow. 7-point spread.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
Yeah, you don't know for sure the smart money is going to be on the Cowboys. You don't know that for sure.
The wise guys are going to be on Dallas because this right here should not be. This should be somewhere around. Dallas should be about -2.5.
I would say -2.5.
No more than minus four.
Maybe minus five. -7 is a lot.
And the way Washington is playing,
yeah.
The smart money has to be on Dallas.
I saw the NFL power rankings last night. I was watching the show, and they have Dallas the number one team in the NFL. So I think there's a lot of love for a 9-1 Cowboys team.
A lot of love for 9-1 Cowboys team. The Redskins are rolling right now.
They're playing. Washington's playing very good football. The offense is stout. We're starting
it's
to see
a divisional game. It's going to be
a war.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know the thing. The funny thing about it, the last time these two teams played on Thanksgiving, you know what all the talk about was going into the game? How they Washington had this amazing quarterback in Robert Griffin III, who was going to be the next big thing to hit football. So things changed very quickly.
I'm looking forward to that Giants matchup because the Giants. Somebody was actually saying it yesterday to me, and I thought about it. He said, the teams that can beat Dallas are the ones that actually can put up defensive resistance against them and, you know, and be able to score. And I think the Giants are very good on both sides of the ball.
It's going
to be interesting.
It's three teams that I think will be the best matchups are Washington, the Giants. And the Seahawks.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the Giants match up good with Dallas.
I think they match up well with Dallas as well.
And it's a mental thing also.
You only need to beat Dallas this year.
To beat Dallas, you have to put up defensive resistance, and a lot of their opponents have not done that. To Dallas's credit, I mean, 9-1 is 9-1.
To be fair, they have only played two teams over 500 this year. Whatever that you got to beat who's on your schedule. Dallas has only played two teams over 500 this year.
To be a good team, you beat who you're supposed
absolutely
to be.
Absolutely agree, Scotty. Just wanted to give that fact, though. Let's take your phone calls now at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. Kenny and Philly, you're up next here on the Roto Experts.
How you doing, boy?
Kenny, what's popping, baby?
How you doing? Hey, yo, I want to wish y'all a happy holiday, first and foremost.
You too.
Mr. Bishop, thank you. What's up, man?
What's going on, dude?
Hey, I got these three quick questions. Rivers or Tannehill this week?
Rivers every week over Tannehill. Rivers has a very good schedule down the stretch.
Yeah, Cam, me
this week.
Yeah.
All right, say McCoy doesn't play. We got Gillislee or Tyler Boyd, half-point PPR.
Gillislee.
Yeah.
Gillislee.
I think McCoy's going to play, though.
Okay, all right, cool. And this one's going to hurt, but unfortunately, this man won me a couple $1,000 week three when he had a 300-yard game, but I'm considering dropping him this week. Marvin Jones, I might have to drop him. I'm trying to drop him for the Atlanta defense. I'm streaming defenses for the playoffs. So.
See, Tony, are we at this point where you could drop Marvin Jones for the Atlanta defense?
Yeah, not for the Atlanta defense. It's got to be a better defense out there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. Yeah, for the playoffs, For the playoffs.
No, but Atlanta defense sucks.
Yeah,
why do you want those guys?
There's no real lockdown defense for the rest of the way in most cases.
Yeah,
Atlanta's not one of them.
And Atlanta's far from one of them.
Right. I'm streaming. I got three defenses already on my roster. That was going to be the fourth. I got it all lined up for the playoffs.
You know, roster four defenses.
That's hilarious.
No, he's getting ready for the playoffs. He's getting ready for the playoffs, Scott. This is his hoarding technique.
That should actually be on that.
Can I drop
show.
Marvin Jones?
Man,
keep Marvin Jones.
This is a hot, this 12 and 10 team league.
Who are you streaming Atlanta 12. Against? 12. What matchup are you looking for?
LA and San Fran.
San Fran going to put up points.
Yes, the 49ers can put up points. But it's about turnovers and sacks. They do have Beasley, though.
I'd be very careful trusting. I would be very careful going up playing the Atlanta Falcons in the dome with that secondary is pitiful. Yeah. And you don't start Ryan Tannehill, Kenny. And then Marvin Jones, I think you can cut Marvin Jones in a 10-team league, but not a 12-team league.
Not a 12, okay. All right, fellas, appreciate y'all, man. Happy holidays,
y'all. Hey, enjoy.
You too, man.
So speaking of, like, going after defenses for the playoffs, right? So I was looking into the next week for week 13. That's not the playoffs yet, but I'm, you know, just trying to scope out the landscape, trying to prepare
a little
bit.
Next week is a very big week.
Next week's basically the playoffs for me, you know? So unfortunately, the Browns are on a bye, so I can't go after the Browns. I'm like, all right, let me go after Chicago, Matt Barkley, right?
Yeah.
Let me go after San Francisco, maybe. They play each other. The Niners play the Bears next week. I can't mess with that now.
Let's go back to this Ryan Tannehill situation.
Okay.
Phillip Rivers got the Houston Texans this week. Pretty good defensive
team.
Yes,
they are.
Right? A pretty good team. The Miami Dolphins, when you look at the Dolphins situation, and not knowing which game is going to use it, but I was thinking it was this week, they play the 49ers defense. So you wouldn't consider that at all?
Miami, they want to pound the rock, get a football to the young man out the backfield, Jay Ajayi. And the thing with Ryan Tannehill is he's had good matchups at other times this year, and he has not come through. I just can't. I may sound biased. I just can't put that guy in my lineup. I mean, I played him 1 week this week. He scored 11, I think, like against the Jets defense or something like that. And that's not going to cut it this time of year. And I'm off of Ryan Tannehill, period.
I just feel like in an important week, with Tony making all the logical points, an important week, critical week, there's no way I can use Ryan Tannehill. I just can't do it.
I mean, you just look at it. I mean, 17, 11, 18, 12, 7. This is pedestrian.
Pedestrian, says Corey. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. We'll talk more, including RB snapdowns. That is next.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
On Roto Experts.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Tony Cincotta, and Corey Parson are here with you. Going up until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever with Nando DeFino is next. Remember tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, you can talk with George Kurtz at rotoexperts.com. Inside the exclusive edge package, which is making a playoff push. Why make a playoff push without the Roto Experts and without consulting with the answer expert, George Kurtz? I don't know. That's why you answer free radio. When you purchase the exclusive edge package, we'll give you the package for less than $10. Free radio when you check out. Gentlemen, let's look at some snap counts from over.
Before we get that, I got a question about Scott's news situation.
Please.
Scott, you just did the news. I did 30 minutes of news, and no one mentioned the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
You know what? That was on my show sheet for today to talk about the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, Scott, how come you didn't do that? I have no answer for myself.
But I didn't consider it fantasy news.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just gave a bunch of news. Like, hockey's not fantasy news.
I'll tell George that later today.
Corey, what do you think of the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
What is this?
The brand new NHL team in Las Vegas. They are named the Golden Knights.
I think a professional sports team in Las Vegas is very dangerous thing.
Right. Well, now that's already done. It's over.
So now it was the Golden Knights.
Yeah. Why are they the Golden Knights,
the logo,
Tony? What is the reason
right?
here?
I the logo is out here, right? And the logo is like this shield, and it looks pretty cool there. But as far as why the Golden Knights, that's a great question. I'm going to do the research and figure out how they came up with this crazy name. But they do look like gladiators, and they're going to play in the T-Mobile Arena.
Yes,
that's a nice arena.
Yes, it is a nice arena. Have you been there?
No, I've seen it.
I've seen it as well. Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah.
If you Google it, it's the first thing that pops up.
Mm-hmm.
It says how the Vegas Golden Knights got their name.
I saw that on ESPN. I have that article open as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the logo is very cool. You're right. Yeah, you're right, Tony.
I didn't see it.
You got some info here, Florio?
Yeah, apparently the owner, Bill Foley, said he wants his team to be known for dedication, honor, strength, courage, and commitment to never giving up. And he felt that the Golden Knights really embody that name.
I mean, it sounded like a damn casino. Come to the Golden Knight.
Have a Golden Knight.
It's interesting. I think that it just sounds like Golden Nugget, which probably makes you think of Golden Knight.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Down there on Fremont Street, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. They are not known as the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They are known as the Vegas Golden Knights. Because they thought Vegas sounded better. Yeah. They are the Vegas Golden Knights, not the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Remember when they made homeboy sell the Clippers? You remember
Donald Sterling?
Yeah. I couldn't remember his name. Remember Floyd Mayweather wanted to buy the Clippers?
Yeah.
He thought he had a serious bid.
Yes.
The way that dude gambles, you think somebody's going to let him own a professional sports team?
No.
How foolish was that? Silly. I'm about to say, why didn't he try to get in on this Vegas Golden Knights thing? Then again, probably because he gambled too much. So, yeah. Yeah, I think it's very, very risky to have a professional franchise.
Do you think the Raiders will ever get to Vegas?
I really don't think you should put an
NFL
team.
You do, Tony. You do, Tony.
I don't think you should put an NFL team in Vegas.
I think they do. I think that here's the problem. It's not the gambling with the Raiders. They've done some studies. There's not enough people living in the Las Vegas area, like the downtown area. So that's the negative right now that they're going through.
Yeah,
so
like if you're a tourist, like do you want to like – you go in there and you're saying, oh, I want to go see Jerry Seinfeld, Celine Dion, you know, and I want to go to a Golden Knights game. You know, where's that on your list of priorities when you go to Vegas?
So this owner here of the Golden Knights trademarked the team name Silver Knights and Desert Knights to keep people guessing. So he actually went and trademarked other things just to keep people guessing.
I like that.
Sounds
like they got a creative owner.
This team's going to be good. Yeah, this team's going to be good. He's an attention to detail guy.
Yeah. What would you have voted for, Tony? Golden Knights, Silver Knight, or Desert Knights?
Desert Knights. I mean, they play out in the desert. That's where I would have went.
Desert Knights.
I would have voted for Silver Knights. I guess, but Golden Knights is like you in the gold. Silver Knights just
sound
cool.
You're in the desert, though. That makes sense. It's a cool name.
Yeah. What happens when they leave Vegas?
It's different, though. Then they totally change a city and the name. It's like teams becoming the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, et cetera.
Well, but like the Utah Jazz are still the Jazz, even though they left New Orleans.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't get it because like New Orleans. Normally it's like Jazz. That makes sense.
Right.
Utah Jazz. You know, it's like, I'm not thinking of going to jazz club. I don't know what you call it.
No,
Mormons. I don't know.
Utah Mormons, huh? That's what you're going with.
That's the first thing when I think of Utah.
Well, I think religion and there's no place for the religion in sports.
I was going to say something like that too, but I was like, let me chill.
Don't they the New Orleans Saints? But Arizona didn't change their name either. They have Cardinals in St. Louis, then they have Cardinals
in
Arizona.
That's right. The
Cardinals not specific to St. Louis. I researched that. I thought the same thing as you, Tony.
Well, I want everybody from now on, if you leave a city, you need to change your name.
I agree.
We're totally with you. Like the Ravens,
I think the Jets should have changed their name, too.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Why should the Jets have changed their name?
Were named after the jet airplanes flying over Shea Stadium.
Well, they got an airport in Jersey, too, Scott.
But they don't fly over the stadium, though.
That's true, they do.
Yeah. They absolutely do.
During the game?
I think they do.
I think so.
They do, too. I've never been to a game there.
Even
to
one game?
I've been to several games there to the Meadowlands.
When was the last time?
This season.
Oh.
It's MetLife.
Yeah.
It's proper.
Jet life.
So here's what I know. I can drive by, and I can see the football stadium, and I can see the airport when I'm driving.
You can see it. That doesn't mean you're there, though.
I know, but they're there. They're in the same vicinity. Because
something near is like not it, you know?
I don't know.
You're like, I can see, you know, McDonald's down the block. I'm not there. You know?
You'd like to be, though.
Yeah, I would. That's true.
Bills wide receiver Sammy Watkins has been cleared to practice on Wednesday on a limited basis.
I don't think Tony likes this news. He sounds like...
That was me. I'm so... boy.
I heard Tony just say, oh, God.
Both of you said it.
Yeah,
because this is ridiculous with this guy, man. I'm so disgusted. I drafted this guy all over the place. He let me down. I cut him. He got the audacity to come back. Why is he trying to hurt me?
Yeah, I don't know. So you think Sammy Watkins Corey is going to win somebody a championship, not the name deal?
Oh, God, please don't let that happen. Greg, I'm not going to be able to. I have to give the hobby up if Sammy Watkins has one of these miraculous runs down the stretch and wins people championships. I would have to give the hobby up.
Fantasy football or fantasy sports?
I still need a job, though, so maybe I better.
But let's just say you keep your job here. What other fantasy sport would be your go-to sport?
Golf.
Golf, okay.
Yeah, golf.
Tony, do you think Sammy Watkins is going to win? This is an interesting question. Sammy Watkins is practicing right now, okay? Do you think there's a better chance that Sammy Watkins wins someone a championship or costs somebody a championship? Because you can see Sammy Watkins in a lineup, either A, be a decoy, B, just get hurt again, or C, not do anything else, or D, win you a championship. And B, the Sammy Watkins people drafted this year. Is there a better chance? Let's put this, Flory, I want this on a poll, okay? At FNTSY Radio, is there a better chance that Sammy Watkins wins you a championship or costs you a championship? Tony?
You know, I never thought about it like that. I think costs you a championship. You're right, because people are going to use him, throw him out in the field, and anything could happen. And in that one game in weeks 12, 13, 14, you absolutely could lose this guy. So I think that's a great point on your part. And then, yes, you know what? Furthermore, I put up a poll yesterday, and I'm surprised at the overwhelming. I agree with the
results.
Readers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the last four games, Tyrod Taylor has more rushing touchdowns than passing touchdowns.
Right.
Can you win in the NFL like this? And 72% of the people said no.
I don't think you can. It's been proven, right, over the last several years. When these guys
I was trying to think about a running quarterback that did well in the playoffs, though. And I couldn't really think of one.
You know,
you could make the argument Steve Young was, but
Russell Wilson?
I mean, he passed well. But Russell, I don't see anyone of the degree that Taylor has.
I think
has
he means
right
like
now,
only like a, like more of a running quarterback than a throwing quarterback, like a Cordell Stewart type.
Oh.
Or
yeah.
Slash.
I mean, that's Beard. What Tyrod Taylor has turned into. We talk about the success, right? But from an NFL perspective, I don't think this is a winning football.
No, they're a 500 ball club.
And don't say he turned into don't say Tyrod Taylor turned into Cordell Stewart. That's not nice for Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor family would be very upset to hear that. You don't get the Cordell Stewart thing, Greg?
Hey, guys. Okay. It's funny because, like, it weaves into both conversations. We're talking about Kristen Blyer says on Twitter, what about the Buffalo Bills? What the hell is a bill? A dollar? A new law? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I don't know.
What's the Buffalo Bill?
That Florio's a Buffalo Bill fan.
What is a Buffalo Bill?
What's a Buffalo Florio? Bill, Florio?
He's in a Wikipedia because he has no idea.
Buffalo Bill, though. Nobody can
Mike Florio
is his favorite team. It's
Mike
like,
Florio is actually wearing a Buffalo Bill sweatshirt right now, our producer, and he has no idea what a Buffalo Bill
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's like Tony and Mike called me one Sunday morning from their show, and they said, we wanted to know if you knew what a Seahawk was. I said, it's an Osprey.
A what?
An Osprey.
That's what we said. The bird,
Osprey.
We're being blue and doing a show, and we're the Seahawks, and we're like, is that a real bird? Like,
yes.
Nobody, ever, like, when you're out.
The Bills are a bison, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a bison.
Yeah.
So it's
a bison. Okay,
there you go, Florio. It's a bison.
You're welcome.
Go get yourself a bison.
You're
burger.
Welcome, Florio. Anyway, okay. That's Tony's answer about Sammy Watkins. There's a better chance he costs you a championship. Now, the optimist of Sammy Watkins will look to his last six games last year and see.
He went off.
And see the wide receiver one that he was, right?
He went off.
Okay. Corey Parson, I'm going to go with you next.
Oh, God.
Is there a better chance that Sammy Watkins wins you a championship this year or costs you a championship?
I keep going back. I believe it was week two or three
of this
year, of this season, and they had this unbelievable matchup on Monday Night Football versus the Jets.
Okay,
and we'd already seen that the Jets were going to be pitiful in the secondary, and I was like, "Wow, the Bills are going to throw the football down the field. Sammy Watkins is going to go off this week." You know what I'm saying? And I think he might have had one catch, and Marcus Goodwin was catching. They was throwing touchdown passes to Marcus Goodwin deep down the field. Mm-hmm. It hurt me so bad. You know, they use Watkins as a decoy.
Wasn't he healthy?
Yes.
He was being used as a decoy.
He was not healthy, yes.
But is he healthy now is the thing that I'm worried about.
Here's the thing. I don't think they would bring him. Well, I can't say that with Rex Ryan. Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, my default thought was, you know, you could bring him back if he's not healthy. But he could win you a championship if you're savvy and you sit back and you don't use him until you see he's playing really well.
Yeah.
And then
you
pop him in week 15 and he has a good game
for
you.
So this is the thing. We know he's going to return with limited practice on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I have to think, and it's the Bills, you're right, Scott.
Yeah.
It's Rex Ryan, so I don't know, I can't be positive about this. You have to think that they will not play this guy until he gets full practices in and they know he's healthy. So I don't think he plays this week because it's going to be limited practice.
Now, this is week 12.
This is week 12.
You can ask Dr. A about this at 8:40. He said Rex Ryan is the type of coach that pushes his guys when they're not ready.
Okay. Then I'm not going to play Sammy Watkins when he's not ready. I've seen him get injured. I have seen him be a decoy. And I have seen him play limited. And I don't want him in there then.
I agree. He's not gonna play this week. If you are Sammy Watkins owner, and you're 6-5, week 13 is next week.
Yes.
Would you play him in week 13?
Considering he didn't play last week.
Yep.
No.
Of course not. That's the whole thing. You just gotta wait it out with him.
Absolutely.
So should he be on the waiver wire? No, he shouldn't. I'll be honest. He shouldn't be on the waiver wire. See you. So whatever.
Corey's gonna be going to Orchard Park, showing up in practice to watch Sammy Watkins and see how he's looking.
I would like to meet Sammy Watkins.
Yeah?
And ask him if he had a problem, if he had a problem with me.
Why?
Because I was pulling him up draft boards, Greg. Mm. Like, that was my guy.
He was trying to raise money. his profile.
You remember scared money don't make money, Greg? That was me and you. Next week in fantasy?
I know.
Corey raised his public profile.
I did. Yeah. I was all in on Sammy Watkins, and he let me down.
I'm not in on Sammy Watkins. I'm dead out. I was dead out this offseason. I'm dead out now. If it cost me a championship, it cost me a championship.
What do you think, Tone?
Oh, I don't use him at all. I think it's a lost season. The offense is in shambles. McCoy's the guy to get there. I just don't take the chance. I really think if he comes back, it's going to be week 13. I made it this far. I'm not going to use him.
Okay, there you go. Let's take a break. We'll get to your poll answers when we come back at FNCSY Radio. Is there a better chance Sammy Watkins wins you a championship or costs you a championship? We continue on here on the Roto Experts after this. At FNTSY Radio is the poll. Is there a better chance that Sammy Watkins wins you a championship or costs you a championship? Right now, costs you a championship is at 55%, wins you a championship is at 45%. People are very split down the middle here on Sammy Watkins. For me, as you guys know, I have done the same exact opinion of injuries all year long. Pessimism rather than optimism. That's just is what it is for me. I'm not banking on this guy just coming up and showing up and winning a championship. Now, I said the same thing, to be fair, about Thomas Rawls several weeks ago. Now, Rawls is in the driver's seat to very well win you a championship. Things broke his way. Will they break Sammy Watkins' way? How do I know when Sammy Watkins pushes it today in practice, he doesn't hurt himself again? I don't know
exactly. But that could be any player. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but when the guy is perennially injured, it's more likely to be
just think with me, my situation with Watkins is this right now, and I looked at this when I cut him. He's going to, if he did come back this season, which he looks like likely he is, are you going to be comfortable putting him in your lineup?
Now,
and that's the problem.
The question is going to become is what you see of him. Now, if he plays a limited number of snaps, let's just say this week. Let's say Rex wasn't lying and they played a limited number of snaps this week, which I think is crazy. But it's Rex, so you never know. If he performs well, you're going to feel comfortable putting him in there week 13, right? If he doesn't play well, you're not going to put him in there week 13.
He goes 5 for 58.
You're going to put him in there next week. He was 5 for 58. You'll put him in there next week. 5 for 58, 7 targets, let's say.
Yeah, I have to play.
You're going to play him in week 13.
Yep.
What if he goes 3 for 20?
And how's his snap count?
Limited number of snaps. He does not play a full complement of snaps.
Then I would practice report.
Okay.
I want him, if I'm going to play him, say he plays this week, he goes 3 for 20.
Yep.
And I want him to be a full participant
in practice next
Wednesday,
week.
Thursday, and Friday.
You won't get that. Okay, what if he's this? Limited, full.
If he goes full on Friday?
Full on Friday.
Yeah, then I would probably
So here's where you are, Corey. What you will do, basically what you're telling me is whenever the first time Sammy Watkins gets out there, whenever that is, whether it's this week or next week, whatever, if he doesn't re-injure himself, you're going to play him the next week. That's what you're telling me, basically.
I want him to get some full practices, though, Greg. I want him to practice. I want him to be fully practicing.
You want him to be fully healthy, ready to go. Like he was last year, where he was fully healthy.
I want him to be fully healthy, ready to go.
Tony, what about you? If you see him get on the field this week, next week, whenever. A week later, if he has no setbacks, are you going to play him?
He would have to play 25 plays before I would play him.
25 plays before you play him. All right, so if he's on the field for 25 snaps in week number 12, you'll play him in week 13.
Yep.
Scotty.
I don't think the analysis gets better than what Tony just said. Serious.
I agree. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So where I am, I think what you guys are all saying, it makes sense. But it's all basically the same thing. If you see him play a decent amount of snaps, stay healthy, basically no matter what he does, because 3 for 20 is nothing, obviously. Basically, no matter what this guy does on the field, as long as he comes out of here healthy.
If he gets out the game,
insignificant number of snaps. If he plays a decent number of snaps, and you're not asking for all that much, you're asking for 25 snaps. He gets out of the game healthy. You will play him season on the line in week 13.
I want him in, season on the line.
That's what it is. Season very well could be on the line in week 13.
I got some big matchups this week, too. And I'm just looking at it.
But, Corey, I mean, I know your answer, in all honesty, because you had Sammy Watkins, and we're talking about Bilal Powell here and Brandon LaFell, right? You're going to play Sammy Watkins. There's no question.
Yeah, he just has trouble with it because he's been burned.
Because he hurt my feelings, right?
I get it. Yeah. Believe me, I know.
Got to be like a quarterback, though, and put it behind you. Have a short memory.
I don't get over things easy, Scott.
You got to do it, Corey.
I don't get over things easy.
Talking about a very top difficult. Wide receiver.
When it happens to me, Scott, it hurts. It hurts my feelings. I'm a guy, I take a long time to bounce back.
All right, you've had what, about 10 weeks to bounce back now?
Yes, Scott, yes.
Yeah, so,
it's not enough.
Bounce.
It's not enough. I agree.
I'm still not eating that night. I'm still tossing and turning. I'm not sleeping well. I unfollowed him on Twitter.
Did you?
Defriended him on Facebook.
Yeah.
We're struggling, right? He's already dating again.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He's dating somebody new. That's the problem.
Yes, he's dating somebody new.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm still single.
Younger.
Yes.
David from Florida, you are up next. You're the Roto Experts. Good morning, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Let me set the tone. I'm 10-1. It's a PPR league. There's 12 teams. I'm playing the 9-2 team. If I can win, I'll have the head-to-head because I would have beat him once already. So that'll give me a two-game lead.
Home field advantage.
Pretty much kind of clinched home field advantage throughout. So my thought is I was going to go with Gurley and go with Kelly as my running backs this week. And my wide receivers, A.J. Green's out. So I was going to go with Evans and go with Marshall. So my flex, I'm left with Dixon, Powell, Lewis, Hill, or Wright, or I could drop somebody and pick up Boyd or Garcon.
You say Jeremy Hill?
I think it's Jeremy Hill.
Yeah,
Jeremy
he's going to get a lot of work
now. No. That's Tyreek Hill. Sorry.
Oh, no. That's a different Hill. Totally different sides of the spectrum. Yeah. I think that the name that stuck out to me, Scott, was Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah.
And that may not be the. Can you rattle off those names again?
It was. I have Dixon, Powell, Lewis, Tyreek Hill, and Wright. Now I can pick up Boyd. I can pick up Garcon, but I got to play one of these guys in the flex. Now I currently do have Dixon in there just to, because that's my roster. But you know, I wasn't sure.
What about Garcon, Corey?
Garcon is intriguing also.
He's been playing well.
But they got if they
is
but
this
they,
a PPR league?
Yeah. 12 team
it
PPR.
It is a PPR 12 man.
Yeah, I would it's down to two. It's Garcon and Bilal Powell for me, and I would go with Bilal Powell out of the backfield.
Yep. I was going to say I'm looking at these matchups. I think I would say Bilal Powell also. I think I would go Bilal Powell also.
So you would play Marshall and Powell?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at it like this. I don't love your Marshall play, but I can't not play them. And, I would play them both.
Yeah, the Patriots defense is not looking good.
But you would play Marshall over Hill, Wright, or Boyd or Garcon?
Yeah, you know what? And I can't – I'm one of these guys that are loyal to my people that I pick early, and I keep using these guys – right up to the end, and sometimes it doesn't pay out, but there's no way I could put Brendan Marshall on the bench. And I know a lot of fantasy analysts would in certain situations.
Right. Okay, my final question is, would you drop Arizona's defense and pick up Tennessee or the Chargers?
Heck yes, Tennessee. Against Matt Barkley, yes.
Okay. 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 Yeah, I saw your I saw your conversation last night on the exclusive package, and I'm patiently waiting for your week 12 lineups to come out. So
that'll be tonight, my friend.
I'm sure. I'll be looking for those rankings. Lineup ranks. Thank you, guys.
Lineup ranks tonight for the exclusive Edge package. Free radio checkout for a special discount and chat with George Kurtz at 7 tonight.
All right. There you go. Can I get an update on my poll here? Let's see. Florio, give me an update, please.
Yes, it's still very, still 55% cost you a championship, 45% wins you a championship.
People are split down the middle, man, on Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, because, like you guys said, he could cost you in week 13, but he could help you in week 15.
He could, 100%, but he could also cost you in those weeks too, right? Like, remember, he could play and get hurt or be a decoy. We've seen it already. So I think there's a lot.
If he's still a decoy in week 15, then something's very wrong.
Question about it, Scotty.
I'm saying without re-injury, you know.
We'll see. Let's take a break here. When we come back, let's get to the Snapcast that we wanted to do. We do that when we come back. It's RotoWorks for the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is that time of the week. You know, I was talking about Snapcast, and then I totally lost track of time because of Sammy Watkins. So it's that time of the week where we talk to Injury Insider's Dr. A to go over some of these injuries. Good morning, Dr. A.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. This hour, Dr. A, has been dominated by Sammy Watkins, so I have to get your opinion here. Sammy Watkins has been out for this entire year, basically, with a reoccurrence of this foot injury. And Watkins very well may practice today in a limited fashion, according to Bills GM Doug Whaley. Our poll question here at Fantasy Radio is there a better chance that Sammy Watkins costs you a championship or wins you a championship? Because some of us believe that, hey, he can come back and be the Sammy Watkins that we saw the second half of last year. Others of us believe that he's just going to either A, get re-injured, or B, let you down. What is your prognosis and what you see and hear and read on Sammy Watkins?
So if you guys recall, Sammy Watkins had a grade 4 foot injury, which is essentially, you know, he had probably multiple fractures in his foot. Now, foot injuries, especially severe foot injuries in wide receivers, it is a very, very difficult road to recovery. And especially the way he plays in, you know, the Bills system with Rex Ryan, you know, he's such a very high risk injury prone player. And our algorithms are basically saying currently right now, the way he is that he's at a high injury risk and his health performance factor is poor. Now, he could start to improve those numbers depending on how he practices. But if he does play in this game, I do not think, and our algorithms don't think, that he's going to be fantasy relevant this time around. I think it's got to be at least 2 to 3 weeks before he actually can get his foot into playing shape.
So you say by week 14, he should be ready to go?
Should be, if he doesn't have any setbacks, basically. Right now, he's a don't start. He can make it to a low injury risk, I think, in about, like you said, week 14. But he has to get into full practice mode. If you see him in limited practice all the time and then in questionable status, you know, he may have had a little setback. It's such a hard thing to come back from, a really severe foot fracture. If at the best, I think it's week 14, and there is a good possibility that he doesn't come back fantasy relevant this year.
So there you go. From an injury expert here in Dr. A, basically saying what you're saying, Corey, right? Like, even if he plays this week, you want to see a full practice.
You want to see
him play in a game, bounce back, and be fully healthy enough to practice so he gets into a low injury risk, according to Injury Insiders here.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. That's the way I want to see it. Doc, let's stay on the same team, the Buffalo Bills, or the Buffalo Bisons. their running back, the guy in the backfield, LeSean McCoy, he left the game last week with a thumb injury, and I'm like, well, it's not his foot. It's not his big toe. It's only his thumb. Well, why did he leave the game last week, and what do you think his prognosis is for this week?
So when you dislocate a thumb or any type of finger, typically if you guys see it, sometimes they pop it right back in. However, the problem here is if you cannot pop it back in, that means there's some other something that's there that's complicating that relocation. And likely there could be a ligament in the way. I don't know if he's got a small fracture. The good news for him is the fact that, from a medical standpoint, it's not his carry hand. It is the non-carry hand. And so at least, it's not going to affect his ability to hold the football that he normally holds. However, being a running back, he gets hit from everywhere. And a direct hit on that thumb is going to be at a very high risk. Currently, LeSean McCoy is significantly injury prone. With all of his other injuries, his IRC risk category is still high, and his health performance factor is below average. And so fantasy impact for us right now, he's a do not start, even if he starts the game currently, because as a running back, you have to protect the football. And if you have any type of your digits or anything that is injured or fractured and is complicated, it's going to significantly affect your ability to perform on the field. So he's a do not start, according to our algorithms.
Travis Benjamin missed two games, and then he had the bye week to recover from a PCL injury. He was back at practice on Monday. Can Travis Benjamin return, and how effective can he be this week?
So from everything that we've pulled and what our algorithms are saying, he's now improved his health performance factor to above average. And so he used to be below average, now he's above average. So he is making significant progress. He is currently an elevated injury risk. However, because of that above average, it puts him into the start category, a cautious start, but a start category, because he's had sufficient amount of time to recover from this PCL sprain. The only thing that hurt him was the fact that he re-injured it in week 9. It didn't give enough time for it to heal, which you see a lot, actually, in football. And so, but now that he's given it enough time, I think he's basically had 3 weeks optimal recovery time, which is fine for a grade 2 PCL sprain. So he's a cautious start in our books.
Dr. A, the guy that's really at huge, huge, huge emphasis the next 2 weeks is New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. What do we got going on here?
So I just got a push notification from our algorithm. And so his numbers actually have improved, where at this point he's upgraded to an above-average health performance factor. Because before, if you guys remember, they were not sure if he had a punctured lung or not. He wasn't traveling with the team. And so he's actually improved just literally 5 minutes ago. I got the push notification while I was on air with you guys. And so he's probably set to come back. They're probably going to be very cautious with him. And so last time I said that it's going to be at least 2 weeks. And so this is the tail end of the second week. He could start this weekend, and his HPF is up to 66%. I could see it climbing up to 70-75%. And if he stays in above average, I would definitely make him a cautious start. And our algorithms are saying right now that he is a cautious start.
What do you mean by push notification? Did you guys get some new news on Gronkowski?
Well, if you remember, we're monitoring every single piece of information that comes out of any type of website, essentially. And so we're not sure exactly what we got. And so the push notification just says that, hey, there's been a category change. We received information, the algorithm computed what it needed to compute, and then it gave us a new health performance factor. There was a category change from below average to above average. So once our team dives into it, we'll find out exactly what that was. But the good news is that the HPF has now risen to above average, which means for him that there's been some significant progress made in terms of his chest injury.
Significant progress. We'll have to monitor that here. We're talking to Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Check him out. You can hear him on our show every single Wednesday on the Old School Fantasy Hour every Friday, right, Scotty?
Yes, every Friday at 1:20. Dr. Ray, and follow him at Inside Injuries on Twitter.
Now, Dr. Ray, Andrew Luck is concussed, and that means there's a very good chance he's not playing tomorrow. Now, we have seen Devontae Adams quickly come back from a concussion, get through the protocol Monday to Sunday through Thursday. It certainly seems like Andrew Luck will not be available Thursday, but hopefully he'll be available next week, I guess. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's very fair to say. You know, it's interesting. You saw the video on how he hit the back of his head on the turf. You know, it's a when you hit the back of the head actually on the turf is an immovable object that we can all agree, right? It's different from when a guy is going head-to-head impact. There's mobility there. So when you hit the back of your head on an immovable object, the impact is actually has a good chance of being even more than normal. And so you're right. He will not. The likelihood of him passing concussion protocol this week is very remote, and so he's probably not going to play this week. Now, what we're seeing is just a grade one concussion. So his HPF is above average. It did not fall to below average. So if he clears next week concussion protocol, that should go back up to peak. However, as you guys know, Andrew Luck has had multiple injuries every year that he's played in the NFL. So his injury risk is elevated. So when he comes back, he's probably going to remain a cautious start. I don't think he'll drop down to a definite start, according to our algorithms.
We're hearing reports that Adrian Peterson could return in December. You know, what's your outlook for Adrian Peterson based on everything you're hearing?
Yeah, so again, the main thing with him is that typically a repaired meniscus, you know, if it's simple, it doesn't take this long to heal. And then we find out that he had a complicating fracture. He had a stress fracture as well that has to heal. Yes, he started light running. That was positive. However, to take the leap from light running to being NFL ready, it's going to take at least 4 to 6 weeks, in my opinion, to be able to get NFL ready without any setbacks. And so he could come back in December. I think it's a bad move if he does. I think if anything at all, if they go, if the Vikings go into the playoffs and he's not had any setbacks until January, and then there's a chance that he could come back in January. But I still say that there's probably a good chance that he still does not come back this year. He just has to get rehabbed and get into NFL playing shape, as well as the stress that you need to put on that knee, and has to heal properly. And so he's a do not start. If he comes back in December, he's probably a do not start according to our algorithms.
Dr. A, this is not something you're prepared for, so forgive me. Thanksgiving's tomorrow, but you got to settle an argument for us. Tony Romo's right. 36 years of age, right? And he's had the neck and back injuries. What kind of shape would he be in next season if he was able to leave the Cowboys and be a starting quarterback? Do you think we'd see close to the old Tony Romo?
I do not think you will. If you guys have noticed, Tony Romo, he just doesn't suffer minor ticky-tack injuries. You know, he suffers major medical injuries when he gets hit in the pocket, and just the way he doesn't really protect himself and shield himself. He's going to have to make that change if he's going to be a good starter, you know, in the league, and someone's going to really pick him up for some good money. But, you know, currently his numbers are elevated and above average. However, you know, he's like one of these guys in our book that always stay elevated and above average. They never get to peak. And so when you see a player that really never gets to peak health, according to our algorithms, he's just, it's the way his age is, he's 36, and he'll just continue to, you know, drop in that HPF as the years go on. So I think he would be probably a good number two for another team, but I don't think he's going to be in any type of shape to be a good number one consistently for the whole season, where somebody's going to pay him a lot of money.
Doc, will we be able to use any of the Philadelphia Eagles running backs this weekend?
Give me
Darren Sproles and Ryan Matthews.
Darren Sproles.
Sproles and Ryan Matthews.
So Darren Sproles has a grade one rib fracture, which is good. It's a seventh rib fracture. It's in a safe area. It's not, it's not in a, you know, sort of a risky area. However, a rib fracture on a running back, it's just a very bad sign from a fantasy impact standpoint. It's very difficult to control pain with a rib fracture. And so when we got a running back that is sort of trying to protect himself because of a rib injury, it's not going to be fantasy relevant. And Ryan Matthews, a grade two MCL sprain, it's just it's going to take a good 4 weeks for him to recover from an MCL like that. The good news is that it's not torn, but you know, the way you need to cut back left and right as a running back, you have to be able to heal that thing completely. So both of these guys are, well, Darren Sproles is a risky start, and Ryan Matthews is a do not start.
There you have it.
Wendell Smallwood. Yeah.
Wendell Smallwood, Scotty's guy. Dr. A, follow him at Inside Injuries and hear him on the Old School Fantasy Hour Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
And check out all the analysis from him in Virginia and everybody on rotoexperts.com every day, insideinjuries.com.
Absolutely. Yes. There you go. Dr. A, thank you for your time.
Right. Good. I look forward to talking to you guys on Friday.
All right. We'll do it. And happy Thanksgiving. Have a good one. Take a break. I promise we'll get to the snap counts next. We're back here on the Roto Extras in the morning. It's a Wednesday morning before Thanksgiving. Scott is bouncing his head.
He's jamming out.
No instruments today. Air or real. Just jamming out here. Not saying anything either, huh?
Just enjoying this generic music.
Hey. Hey, Scotty. Your boy Ralph Branca died.
My boy?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I thought you cared about that.
Who's that?
Yeah, he's a baseball player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, my dad was fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
So you don't care?
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't care, but, you know, it's...
Sounds like you don't care.
No, it's like, you know, I never saw Ralph Branca play, you know, or nothing.
All right. Yeah. So you don't care.
I know he's... No, you know, he has a lot of historical significance. You know, he gave up the shot of Howard around the world.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get some snap counts here. We'll play a little game.
We played a snap count game. Math is not really my thing. I got to get a piece of paper so I can do the mathematics.
You want your calculator?
No, a calculator is like cheating. I want to do it math.
Lenny Melnick's abacus.
I'm going to pen and paper route. Here we go. I got something right here. Just make sure nothing's in here like a Modell's gift card or nothing like that.
Nope, no Modell's gift cards in
there. Big shout out to Modell's.
You like Modell's?
I went in there the other night.
Oh, yeah?
They had a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, I was excited to see, like, they brought back the old starter
satin jackets.
Oh,
I saw that, satin starter jackets. And you know what else they got? You know what the coaches are wearing now on the sideline to salute the service?
Yeah, yeah.
They got those. Yeah, they
actually,
got, they got
actually,
those,
Lou Mayone and I went to the 34th Street one last week. And he got the salute to service Jets one.
Very good. Yeah. What size?
What?
What size?
It was an XL. So, Corey being Thanksgiving, so you lost another job.
I believe it was you that gave the size, not Corey.
There you go.
Yeah,
just saying.
I said extra large, which is good. I wear an extra large.
I do not.
No.
No. Okay, let's do it here, gentlemen. I want to start... The snap counts is an interesting one. Green Bay, Jimmy Starks, and Ty Montgomery. The number is 61, Scott.
I'm going to say 45-16.
45-16 in favor of who?
In favor of James Starks.
Jimmy Starks. All right, Tony.
I am going to say 41. What was the number again, 66?
61.
41, I'm going to say 20.
41-20.
Starks.
41-20 Starks. Corey Parson.
50-11.
Starks?
James Starks.
33-28.
Closer than I thought.
Exactly. Yeah. Way closer than you thought. Ty Montgomery's been dropped in a lot of places. Is there a reason to own him, Tony?
Garbage time, though. That's a problem. Yep. I mean, once that game get out of hand, so he goes in the backfield. Yeah, you could hang on to him.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't think you'd use him this week. There's no buys.
Okay.
Week 13, there's two teams only on a bye. So I don't think you're going to use him. But if you're going to occupy a roster spot with the ability to use him, all of a sudden Cobb or Nelson were out and you're in the playoffs, he comes to play.
Okay. And what about if James Starks gets hurt again? I mean, are they going to turn to Montgomery or Christian
Michael?
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be Michael.
Okay, so there you go. So Ty Montgomery, I wouldn't drop him yet either.
No, I wouldn't drop him.
I have seen him drop, though.
Yeah, so. I have too, but not yet.
Okay.
We talk about labels, though, and yes. like how people just don't forget a label with a certain guy. People are still rostering Christian Michael.
Right.
In a lot of places are spending fab dollars on him. You know, it's over.
Sure.
Don't do it.
Okay. In Washington.
Oh.
Bob Kelly, or Kells, and Chris Thompson, interestingly enough. The number is 64, Corey.
40 to 24.
40 to 24, okay?
Kells.
Or Kells.
Yep.
Tone.
I am going to go little Price is Right action. I'm going to go 39 to 25 here.
39-25.
I'm
going to
say 43 for Kelly, 21 for Thompson.
Sony, if you would have priced the right action, went one above Corey, you would have won. It was 41-23. Yeah. You're right there.
That's what I meant to do. Yeah. I forgot how to play the damn games.
Tony Cicada, come on down.
41-23. Oh, Chris Thompson's role did not increase at all here. He's got one role. R. Kelly, the dominant force.
Kells.
For Washington.
I got him in my lineup.
We were
Thursday.
All talking about Matt Jones.
Me too.
Dominating the touches in August.
Oh, I knew that was fake. I never bought into that. Matt Jones is a buster.
Gruden told you it was fake, right? He told you that they were using him in that role. They liked him in that role. Like, they didn't want. They did everything they could not to use Thompson as an every down back.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Gruden basically said Chris Thompson can only handle like 15. Touches or so a game at all in total. So he's not going to be out there all that much.
Scott, are you a Gruden grinder?
Oh, John Gruden? My problem with John Gruden is like everybody sounds like they're going to the Hall of Fame.
I agree. Scotty, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's like a turn down the sound.
Look at
it's
this
like,
guy right here. Like, this is a big-time football player right
that
here.
That was a great pass by Matt Barkley. Nobody throws a five-yard out like this guy.
Let me tell you about this random offensive lineman. This guy is good.
Yeah. You know, I spoke to Brock Osweiler.
I love Gruden, and you guys have sort of, like, changed me a little bit.
Good.
Like, I love his analysis. I think he does a really good break it down. But I watch the game now, and I get irritated because of you two guys outlining it, and he loves everybody.
Look at the way Ronnie Hillman hits the hole. This is a big-time running back right here, Ronnie Hillman.
In Philadelphia.
I got to tell you, this Case Keenum, he knows what he's doing.
He's smart. He's smart, Sean. He's a smart quarterback. All right, in Philadelphia.
Nelson Aguilar, I like the way he lines up.
He really holds the ball well. Yeah, he catches it.
Well, let me tell you, I was watching Nelson Aguilar in pregame warm-ups, and this guy knows the hash marks.
Wendell Smallwood and Kenjon Marner, gentlemen. The snap count is 56.
Well, these gentlemen didn't start the game.
No, but both Darren Sproles and Ryan Matthews left the game in the first half with injuries.
I'm going to say
56 is the number.
56 is the number. I'm going to say 36 to 19.
36 Smallwood. 19 is not add up to 56.
I'm sorry, 36-20. Corey, can I borrow your paper?
Tony.
Yeah, no, right?
I'm going 46 to 10, Smallwood.
46-10, okay. Corey?
I'm looking like 40-16.
40-16. Scott was actually the closest here. It was 38-18 in favor of Smallwood. Mm-hmm. Matthews wound up with 14 snaps, Sproles with 10. So I'm just going to add Matthews to Smallwood and Sproles to Barner, which seems fair. So it was 52 to Smallwood compared to 28 for Barner, doubling the snaps, essentially. Wendell Smallwood should have nothing to worry about when it comes to Kenjon Marner. I was wrong about that one. I said we'd bring this up later in the week. There we go. Yeah. Okay. New England.
Ah.
This is going to be interesting.
The Patriots.
New England Patriots. I'll tell you this. LeGarrette Blount had 35 snaps. Okay?
Okay, so we get Blount out the way right away.
Blount
with 35.
Had 35 snaps.
Okay. It would be cool to still guess it, though.
Well, I thought three people was tough.
Okay.
45 snaps between James White and Deion Lewis. Mm. How do you separate that? James 45 White, snaps. 45 teams, James White and Deion Lewis.
I'm going to say James White, 26, Lewis, 19.
Tony.
23 for Deion Lewis, 22 for James White.
Okay. Corey? Mm,
that's intriguing. Tony watched that game probably. Mm-hmm. I would go White 30, Lewis 15.
White had 24, Deion Lewis at 21.
Yeah.
I knew it was close. I knew it was really close. Early in that game, Lewis was in, and then White was in later in the game. And I think it was an endurance thing. So I don't know what that's going to mean next week.
So you think Deion Lewis is slowly just getting his job right back here, it sounds
like?
Yeah,
absolutely. But he's never going to unseat those 30 carries that LeGarrette Blount's
absolutely
getting.
LeGarrette Blount's role is cemented here.
Yeah, so basically when Deion Lewis had it last time, mm-hmm. he was the back. He's never going to be the back in the offense.
I think that's clear at this point anyway. Baltimore, Terrence West, Kenneth Dixon. I know we do this one every week, but it seems worth it.
Yeah, no, and it definitely is worth it. And
45 is the number between these two guys.
Now, I watched this football game.
Yes, you did.
And I was satisfied with the results.
I'm sure you were.
35.
I'm going to go 38-13.
38-13, Scotty.
23-22 West.
23. So a big difference.
I got West, too.
Big difference, and then just one spot, one carry difference here. Very interesting. Okay, Tony.
31-20 West.
Nice job by Scott Angle. 24-21.
Mm.
West and Dixon.
Really?
Evenly split throughout the game. Nice job, Scotty.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Poor job by the offensive coordinator in that game because they both averaged 5 yards a carry and
correct.
Didn't get the ball.
And they went away from the run, and I was just like, oh, yeah. as long as you do that, then this is going to be a short stay.
Absolutely. We talked about if I could start Jerick McKinnon this week. We know that McKinnon had a lot more carries than Matt Asiata. Did he have more snaps? Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata, your number is 52. Tony?
You know what? Just seeing a little of this game, McKinnon 28 and Asiata 24.
38-24. Corey?
I was going to go 25-27.
30-22.
31-21. Nice job, Angle, again. All in favor of Jerick McKinnon. There you go. There are your snap counts for week 11. Use them for week number 12. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we play Survivor Power Rankings with the King. Stick around. The Roto Experts returns right after this. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.